So I'm sitting here at in the press room again with Graham Roche, project lead of Grails, and I just went to most of his session on Grails. And one of the things that you said in there was that Grails allows a blended approach of static and dynamic typing, the best of both worlds. So I was wondering if you'd like paint a picture. What is, you know, kind of what is that best of both worlds? You know, like what. Where does is it a good fit to use the dynamic language? Where is it a good fit to use the static one? And can you sort of elaborate on that?
Well, basically, I mean, each has their individual strengths and weaknesses. Java is a fantastic language. It's fantastic at what it's good at, and that's in terms of architecting large-scale object-oriented applications. And we're talking about distributed systems and. You know, the monsters that we see out there today, and so, you know, some argue well that, you know, they shouldn't be monsters, but the fact is that a lot of them are monsters because they have to deal with complexity and scale and all sorts of things that, you know, you just can't get away from. And dynamic languages, on the other hand, are like Groovy and so forth, are great for some of the more expressive tasks that you need to get done. For example, as the Vue technology. You know, this is why things like PHP shine, because, you know, they're perfectly for Vue technology. And for controllers, you know, if you think about controller logic in an MVC application, your controller logic is only really meant to dictate the flow of an application, and that's very much a scripting task, you know, dictating flow. And, you know, it should delegate to an appropriate service or whatever for the actual logic. And other things, like, for example, in Grails, we have tag libraries. You know, tags are perfect for, you know, expressive, being able to express tags in a dynamic language like Groovy is much more fulfilling and easier and, you know, rapid. So that each have their strengths and weaknesses. At a language level, like Groovy is really good for things like text processing, and, you know, because it's got built-in support for regex and multi-line strings, and, you know, all that kind of stuff is really, really simple in Groovy. Filtering and iterating over any sort of collections of objects and expressing ranges and so forth is really good. And that's a lot of what you have to do when dealing with web applications. You have to get a collection of objects, and you have to filter them, sort them, manipulate the collection in some way so it can be passed to a view, which is perfect for what, you know, that's exactly what Grails shines at. But at the same time, you don't want to lose what the power that you have, you know, in terms of Java applications and building large kind of service components that are, you know, hooked together, you know, and things like enterprise application integration, legacy integration, dealing with multiple services, you know, all the kind of things that Java really shines at. Throwing that out the window is kind of a tough pill to swallow. So Grails is about allowing that blended approach, allowing you to mix Java and Groovy and use them interchangeably. And because Groovy integrates so tightly with Java, it really, it feels very seamless.
Okay, so across the room, the JRuby guys are sitting being interviewed by someone, some mysterious media entity. And I'm kind of curious how, you know, about why I would choose to use Groovy versus, say, JRuby, for example. You know, you mentioned the tighter integration with Java. And what do you think are the trade-offs there?
Well, I mean, Groovy aims to be as expressive as JRuby and Python and Jython and so forth. So, Groovy supports the same kind of features that JRuby does. What you get, though, is tight integration with Java. And what I'm talking about in terms of integration is I'm talking about object model integration, API integration, syntax integration, developer mindset integration. So what that means is, for example, a Groovy object is a Java object. They're both compiled down to bytecode. And they don't compile down, and Groovy code doesn't compile down to some special mystical bytecode. It's, you know, when you a Groovy object is a Java object. What that means is, for example, you can extend a Java abstract class or implement a Java interface in Groovy. And then from Java, you can just load that class in Java and invoke methods on it as if it was a normal class. There's no, Java's not even aware that it's Groovy. there's no special tricks that you have to do with the with JSR compliant script engines, and you know, there's nothing that special. You have you just compile it to bytecode, put it on your class path. Java can load it, call it. It is a Java object, in all intents and purposes. And this is where Groovy has really differentiates itself, in that the word scripting language is used too much, really. And I think there are scripting tasks, things like implementing a build system, doing some command line tasks, you know, all these kind of things are very scripting oriented. But Groovy is also very much a fully fledged dynamic language, not in the sense of a scripting language. So you can create components and classes and, you know, in OO fashion, and incorporate those mixed in with your Java stuff without it showing the seams, and without there being any integration issues between Java and Groovy.
Okay, so within one of the other pictures you drew in your talk was about scalability, and I think the idea was that I could get the quick kind of development that the Rails folks get, but that I don't hit a wall of scalability that, you know, later I can convert things to Java or use Hibernate. Yeah, I mean, or
one of the key focuses of Rails is lowering the barrier of entry onto the Java platform. So it's really, really simple to get going and building your first iteration. You know, if you're doing agile development, it's perfect. You know, for your first iteration, you could implement everything in Groovy, and then as your application starts to become more complex, you can scale that by introducing Java where necessary, using an EJB3 Java entity, using Hibernate XML mapping, and all of that also allows us to support legacy databases and so forth. So, you know, and that means also that because your domain model is in Java, you can invoke it from other services. You know, you can send it across the wire, RMI. You know, you can do. You can use all of Java's web services support. We have a number of integrations with Grails, with things like Aseji and XFire, where you can just plug in these Java components and get it working with Grails. So you can, as your app gets more complicated and more requirements get thrown at it, Grails allows you to cope with those by, you know, providing the underlying platform, Spring, Hibernate, and so forth. And not, so it hides it from you in the beginning, but it's all still there for you to harness if you want.
Okay. So, can I ask a question about one of the things I get with static typing is a little bit better performance. So when I use Groovy, for example, is it always doing, you know, using reflection to invoke methods, or can it sometimes figure out if I have a performance problem, I could just switch to a Java class, probably. But
exactly, and that's one of the benefits of Groovy. You can develop. Groovy is dynamic language. Let's get that out of the way. It uses reflection. It's a truly dynamic language, like JRuby, like Jython, like all the other dynamic languages in the JVM. But if you have bottlenecks in your code or areas where performance can be optimized, you can just implement that bit in Java and include it in your Groovy code, you know, as a static method or whatever. Or have a parent class that's a Java class, or you know, something like that. So it's very easy to remove bottlenecks by. It's almost like, you know, in terms of the Ruby guys, they often do this by implementing C extensions to Ruby, you know, for the C implementation of Ruby. So, you know, when they have issues with performance, they'll implement a C extension and then call that. It's the exact same concept.
Okay. The other thing I saw in your talk was I noticed that there was no compile phase. So I think you have somehow set up between the app server. The app server is always interpreting files in your development area. Is that what you do?
That's right. But there shouldn't be confused here. Although Groovy is a dynamic language and it's using the source files, the fact is that Groovy still compiles it into bytecode at runtime, so there's no interpreting going on. So Groovy will compile classes on the fly,
okay.
And they'll be bytecode classes. It Groovy never interprets the code in a line-by-line basis.
So, but it's done by the Groovy runtime. There's no like compile phase. It's like when you hit that web page, that's when it did it.
Yeah, there's no. It's all done at runtime. Yes.
So I guess I wonder if you could capture for me like where you. One of the things I struggle with is. Where did you know? You actually said something in your talk. You said use the best tool for the job.
Yes.
And I wrote an article, a little piece that use the best tool for the job. That was the name of it.
Yeah.
It was about how you should know a scripting language and a systems language, and use the one that's appropriate. If you're using, if you just know one, and use it all the time, you know.
Absolutely not taking full advantage of the tools at hand. Every programmer needs to know at least one static language, at least one dynamic language. And the folks who are in one camp or the other are disillusioned, in my opinion, because there really are serious advantages to a statically typed language like Java and C Sharp, and there really are serious advantages to a dynamic language like Ruby or Groovy. And if you can learn and use both of them, you'll become even more effective. And the fact is that when you make those choices, you want those languages to play well together. And if you look at Java and Groovy, they work seamlessly together, in relation to the other languages, which was, Groovy's been built from the ground up to comply with Java bytecode and the JVM, and it uses the same collections library, the same file, I.O. library, the same, all the same JDK libraries. Groovy uses those too, so there's no special new APIs that you have to learn and so forth.
Okay, so that's that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I think I see things the same way, but one thing I'm not sure about is where to draw the line. You know, it's like even though I may agree that you should have both of these tools in your toolbox and use the best tool for the job. How would you describe how you decide what's the best tool? So you mentioned controllers and the view, templates, and how would you characterize how to decide between one or the other? I mean,
it's very much a domain-specific decision. I mean, it comes with experience. So, it depends on the task that you're tackling at hand. But in many, many, many cases, just using a dynamic language is fine. But if the code starts to become really long, even in a dynamic language, you've got a strong sense that, okay, maybe, if, particularly in terms of coming to debugging problems and so forth, generally it's good to write sort of five-line methods or five-line, about five-line method is maximum for Groovy, and in Java about a 10-line method. But if you have reams of Groovy code, I'm talking in thousands of lines, there would be a sizable benefit in using static typing, because especially in terms of debugging and understanding flow and introspecting and so forth, the tools that you have available and refactoring support and so forth that you have available, Eclipse and IDEA and so forth, they're just so much more mature, and you can refactor things and move things and rename things, and that's an important aspect of development. Refactoring is key. It's a lot more difficult to achieve in a dynamic language, simply because the tool support is not there.
Okay. So I guess my final question, unless I think of another one, is to what extent has Groovy got momentum? I mean, one of the concerns I have about using Groovy, say, is that these JRuby guys that got hired by Sun over there, they have a lot of attention right now, and so JRuby seems like maybe a safer choice or not. I mean, what do you think? I mean,
Ruby's been around for a long time, for 10 years or so, I think that because JRuby does have this backing from Sun, then you can say that they've put their stamp on it, whilst they haven't done that with Groovy. But at the same time, JRuby has had what they call releases for a while, and Groovy has yet to put on.
That was the sound of quotes.
Yeah. That was Groovy has yet to put out a 1.0.
Yes.
And I think you'll see a significant change when it comes out. At the moment we've got Release Candidate 1, and you'll see a significant change in people's mindsets when Groovy 1.0 comes out, and that's coming out. I've been told by the Groovy project lead in 3 weeks. So 3 weeks to a month. So when Groovy 1.0 comes out, we'll see a significant change, I believe. And also, you must remember that, the momentum doesn't always, and usually is not always led by, the real momentum is not led by Sun. If you look at Spring and Hibernate and all these technologies, that are great, those things didn't come out of Sun, and they're market leading. the momentum can be seen, you know, everywhere. If you look at, like, for example, No Fluff Just Stuff, the tour they do of the conferences, one of the most popular tracks that they have is the Groovy stuff, and they've just launched a website called thebarkgroovy.com. We've now got one book on Grails and two books on Groovy up by the end of the year, so this momentum is building, whether some like to see that or not, and it's happening all over the place. And you know that people are using Groovy today in mission critical systems all over the world, and I can bring on several examples of that. So Groovy is happening now in the Java world. I don't necessarily see JRuby happening to the same extent. And if you look at every poll conducted amongst Java developers about the most popular dynamic languages on the JVM, Groovy always comes out on top.
All right. Well, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.